Well, we're starting a new sermon series, and we're excited about it starting today. And I will just admit that the sermon today is Donnie's. It's the words that God put on Donnie's heart. So these are his words that the Holy Spirit worked through him with. But our sermon series that we're going to be starting today is called Guardrails. And if you have trouble remembering the name of the sermon series over the next 7 weeks, we've got a little bit of a reminder here for you. And I kind of had to laugh after first service because people started coming up telling their favorite guardrail story. They're like, oh, I can remember when I hit a guardrail down here on such and such route, and I can remember when I destroyed one, and, you know, I didn't know people had favorite guardrail stories, but they do, so catch me afterwards if you have one. But Donnie wanted to be completely honest with everyone this morning. There's a really good book in a video series out by Andy Stanley right now, entitled Guardrails, and there's a lot of good material in there. But Donnie wanted to assure you that he has not looked through any of that because he didn't want to copy what someone else is doing. So he is not using any of that material, but he said, yeah, I did steal the name from Andy Stanley of guardrails because he loved the image that it painted in his mind about how we need guardrails in our life. You see, guardrails are... they're everywhere. They're over bridges. They're around the dangerous curve. They're on the overpasses. They're on the catwalks in a factory. They're along stairs. They're along roadways. And we see them all the time, but we usually don't pay a whole lot of attention to them because if we don't need them, we don't usually pay attention to them. What is a guardrail? If you look at Webster's Dictionary, it says it's a railing. It's a guarding. It's usually against a danger. It's a barrier placed along the edge of a highway at a dangerous point. Donnie has a friend, Doug Krukowitz, who preaches at the Christian Church in Ipava. And Doug was telling him about an incident that happened to his wife, Kim. Apparently, Kim was on her way home, and she was crossing a four-lane overpass and proceeded to try to attempt to pass a snowplow that was going very slow. And as she passed the snowplow and started to head over into the right lane, she hit a patch of ice and her van began to spin out of control. And she hit the guardrail on the right side and the van bounced off of it and was actually hit twice, and then slammed into the guardrail on the left side of the road, and eventually she came to a stop. She was scared, and she was upset, as any of us would be after going through something like that, but the guardrails saved her life. The car was damaged, had major damage, but her life was safe. Had there been no guardrail on the right side, she would have plummeted over an overpass and into the dangerous terrain below. And if there had been no guardrail on the left side, she would have spun into oncoming traffic and possibly had a head-on collision. The guardrail guarded her from entering into more danger than what she was already in. You see, the purpose of a guardrail is to do less damage by hitting it than by going into a dangerous or an off-limit area. Guardrails are there to keep us safe as we drive along the highways and the byways of life, and yet we rarely notice them until we need them. As we journey down the highway of life, we also need guardrails to keep us safe. So over the next 7 weeks, we're going to talk about guardrails that we need in our lives to keep us safe. And those things are going to keep us from straying into those dangerous or those off-limit areas that we don't need to be in. And I don't believe we set out to proceed in the off-limit areas of life or in those dangerous areas of life, but sometimes we can just ignore the guardrails that keep us from harming ourselves or for harming others. And a lot of the regrets in our lives could have been avoided if we'd have simply had a guardrail in our life. Let me give you an example. Let's say a relational regret. Maybe you're saying, man, I wish I had saved myself from marriage so that my spouse would be the only and one and only lover I've ever known. Or maybe you've had financial regrets. I wish I'd not been so caught up in the materialism of things and the culture. And I wish I hadn't gotten into as much debt as I am. Maybe you have ethical regrets. Maybe you have moral regrets. A lot of regrets of our lives could probably have been avoided if we'd have simply had a guardrail to keep us from going into those dangerous and off-limit areas of our life. A lot of times when life starts to get tough and we don't understand why we're experiencing the things that we are, we can have a tendency to just throw up our arms and say, I quit. Abandon all that we've been taught, maybe even wallow in a little bit of self-pity. Because the reality is, for most of us, life is hard. And life is a highway. It's filled with detours and exits and ramps and overpasses and bridges and some of those hairpin curves that can lead us to danger if we're not careful, if we do not have guardrails in place in our life. So for this sermon series, we're going to be talking about guardrails that we need in order to protect ourselves in different areas of our lives, to keep us from straying into those dangerous areas. And I want us to look at three guardrails that God has given us to keep us from straying into those dangerous areas and to live a life that He truly desires for us to have in our life. And I want to start this series by looking at a life that most of us, maybe not all of us, but most of us are probably familiar with, a man named Job. And in Job chapter 1, verse 1, it says this: this man, Job, was blameless and upright, and he feared God, and he shunned evil. You see, Job's life was hard, because tragedy after tragedy had happened in Job's life. He lost his children, his cattle, his homes, and even his health began to deteriorate. Yet this was a man who was blameless and upright, and who feared God and shunned evil. So why would all this happen to him? Well, Satan was involved. Satan went and asked God for permission to unleash all the tragedy he could on Job, kind of like betting God that Job would sin against him if his life had been turned upside down. Well, at first, Job remained strong during these tragedies, but then, well, there was a seven-day sit-in in silence with some of his friends. And Job spoke, and he began to curse the day of his birth, and he began to wallow in his self-pity. And eventually, Job blamed God for doing him wrong, which is in chapter 19 of Job, and God would not tolerate this. So Job's friends relentlessly accused Job of living a sinful life, and Job continued to defend himself. And since the three men could not get Job to budge, they finally gave up, and the four of them just quit talking. But Job still could not get God to speak to him. Well, now that the four men had ceased their tirade and God was still being silent through all of this, a fifth person entered this conversation. His name was Elihu. He was a young bystander. He was angered at both Job and his friends. And he took advantage of them in their silence, and he rose to defend God's justice and sovereignty. When some read the comments that Elihu made, they can at first think of him as maybe an arrogant youngster who is just spouting off at the mouth. Well, R.B. Zuck, in the Bible Knowledge Commentary, made this comment: Elihu's sensitivity to Job's need contrasts with the harsh words of the three. His views reflect greater insight into Job's situation than the three antagonists possessed. For this reason, it's wrong to call Elihu a brash, heartless young fool, as do some commentators. Really, what Elihu is doing is he's helping Job. He's helping Job remember the guardrails that God gives us to keep us from straying into the dangerous and those off-limits areas of our life. Today's scripture is going to come, if you'll turn with me, to Job chapter 36, verse 21. Job 36, verse 21. And it says this: "Beware of turning to evil, which you seem to prefer to affliction." Again, beware of turning to evil, which you seem to prefer to affliction. When Elihu tells Job not to turn to evil, he's reminding Job that he ought to be careful not to turn to sin. And by complaining, which he seems to prefer to bearing his affliction without complaining. To find fault with God would not bring Job relief from his trials, but instead would lead him into a very dangerous time in his life. Elihu is helping Job establish guardrails that have been given to us by God. And perhaps Elihu was a guardrail to help keep Job on track. So what are the guardrails that God gives us in our lives? And these are the three guardrails that we're going to look at over the next 7 weeks. The first one is God's Word. The second is God's Spirit. And the third is God's people. So let's talk about God's Word for a couple minutes. How is God's Word, how can it be used as a guardrail in our lives? Well, just like a guardrail, God's Word heightens our sense of caution. If we see one of these along the highway, we know there must be some danger. There's something that it's protecting us from. And when a person spends quality time in God's Word every day and desires to draw closer to Him through His Word, we become more sensitive to those dangers that lay on the other side of the guardrails, those off-limit areas of our life. We want to avoid them so that we don't put ourselves or even others in harm's way. You see, we become more sensitive to the truth of God as we consume the Word of God. And God's Word guides us as we journey. Our decisions in everyday life are determined by the Word of God first and foremost. God's Word keeps us on course. It's our roadmap for life. God's Word helps us to be aware of the dangers and pitfalls that are before us. And if we're not going to do it every day, we're traveling blindly. Donnie was saying that when he was a kid, one of the games that he used to play was the game of chicken. Well, I remember playing chicken. Let me back up. Not me, everybody else was playing the game of chicken where, you drove at each other to see who dodged first. Well, Kentucky chicken must be a lot different than Illinois chicken, because he says that the Kentucky chicken is when you can see who can drive the furthest in the dark without turning on your headlights. All I can say is Kentucky. He admitted it's something stupid to do, thinking about it now, but it's just like going through life without having God's Word and allowing it to illuminate our path. If we don't do that, it's stupid. Because God's Word changes our life. And some people simply use God's Word, unfortunately, as an emergency manual. You know what it's like when you get caught up in a sin and then you just run to the Bible and you look for the answers to get you out of trouble. Or how am I going to save my hide? Or how am I going to save my reputation? And that's a problem for many people who only see God's Word as an emergency manual, as being advantageous for them who are in a crisis where they simply want to save their own life but unwilling to change their life. In the book of Acts 2:42, the early Christians devoted themselves to the Word of God, and it changed their life. So our first guardrail is God's Word. Our second guardrail is God's Spirit. How can God's Spirit be a guardrail for our lives? Well, the Spirit convicts us when we start heading to dangerous territory. Jesus said in John 16, verses 7 and 8, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment." You know that small little voice that pops up in your head and speaks to your heart and tells you and warns you when you're about to go down one of those dangerous roads? Well, that's the Spirit of God convicting us when we begin to get off track of the road that we should be on. It's that voice that may say, you know, don't make eye contact with that lady again. Or don't let him help you again because it feels kind of strange. Or maybe I shouldn't talk about this to other people because it really isn't even any of my business. So while we may be tempted to think we can avoid the dangers on the other side of the guardrail by our own power, we're sadly mistaken. It is God's power. It is God's Holy Spirit living within us, working inside of us, that causes us to turn from those dangerous and those off-limit areas of life and adjust our vision back to Jesus. So we have God's Word. We have God's Spirit. Finally, we also have God's people. God uses men and women. He uses you and me as guardrails in our lives. He does so through the idea of accountability. I know you've heard Donnie speak many times on the importance of all of us having people in our lives that can speak truth, that will hold us accountable. And the guardrail reminds us that there is something very dangerous on the other side, and we shouldn't even attempt to go over into that area. And God puts people in our lives to remind us of the very same thing. God uses Elihu to remind Job not to venture off course and wallow in his self-pity and sin against God, but to embrace his afflictions and give all glory to God. When God brings people into our lives to speak a word of truth to us, sometimes we don't like it. No one really likes the sound of grinding metal, and that's exactly how sometimes accountability can sound to a person who's gotten off track. And if God uses you to be a guardrail, it can be painful as well. Again, it's metal grinding against metal. And if God is using you as a guardrail, remember this: guardrails are made to bend, they're not made to break. How many times have you driven down the highway and you've seen one of these all dented up and bent, but they don't break? You may have to do a lot of bending in the lives of others in our own lives as well, in order to help someone back to a right relationship with Christ. So to recap, what are our three guardrails? God's Word, God's Spirit, and other people. And we all need guardrails in our lives, and we all need these three particular guardrails. God doesn't call us to journey alone, but with Him and with His people. Recognizing and utilizing the guardrails God gives us will indeed help us in our quest for intimacy with not only with God, but with others. So are we utilizing God's guardrails in our lives? Imagine what our lives would look like if we utilized God's guardrails, spending more time in God's Word, truly stopping and listening to what the Holy Spirit is telling us, and letting others truly speak truth into your life.